Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It's February 14, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia, and we're going to be looking at the Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami, Part 2, the story of Gopakumar. Okay, so this starts out with Uttara asking Maharaj Parikshit. This is after Maharaj Parikshit hears the Bhagavatam, obviously before he leaves his body. And Uttara describes to Maharaj Parikshit the Vaikuntha worlds. And she says, there everyone is equal. And she said, I just don't understand, though, that everybody gets exactly the same destination. She said, how could those people, how could the gopis who are in the Raslila, how could they go to the same Vaikuntha as all the other great devotees of the Lord? She said, there must be something else. There must be someplace higher than Vaikuntha. So then Parikshit meditates on the fact that he was saved by the Lord within the womb. And he says, my dear mother, to answer your wonderful question, I'm going to tell you a story. It says, once there was a poor Brahmana. He lived in Pragyotisha. And he wanted wealth, as people who are poor often do. And he was thinking, if only I could be wealthy, if only I could be wealthy. And he was a very ignorant Brahmana. He didn't really know what was the purpose of life, how to achieve it. He worshipped a goddess, Kamyakya, and he prayed to goddess Kamyakya, please, please give me wealth. Please, please give me wealth. So she appeared to him, and she gave him the Gopal Mantra. And she said, use this Gopal Mantra and worship Madan Gopal. Now, those of us who have second initiation, we chant a variety of the Gopal Mantra. She gave him a 10-syllable mantra. We chant an 18-syllable mantra. But she said, you chant this mantra and worship Madan Gopal. So he chanted the mantra. As he chanted the mantra, he found that his desire for wealth just sort of evaporated. He just simply didn't have a desire for wealth anymore. He just felt fully satisfied. In fact, the mantra itself appeared to him like a treasure chest full of jewels that had opened right before his eyes. So chanting this Gopal mantra, he decided that he was going to travel. And he left and went to the Ganga. He was from Mathura. He went to the Ganga. He went to the place where the Ganga meets the ocean. And he went there during the month of Magh. And there he saw some brahmanas. And the brahmanas there, they were talking about how the goal of life is to go to the heavenly planets, to Swarga. So he kept chanting his mantra, and he was following their rituals, but he wasn't really very satisfied. He wasn't that interested in going to the heavenly planets. So he decided he was going to keep traveling. And he went to Keshi. And there he just thought, I'm tired of doing all these rituals for going to Swarga. And there he saw sannyasis who were saying, no, the goal of life isn't to go to Swarga. The goal of life is to merge with the Brahman. They were Advaita sannyasis. And he thought, oh, yeah, that sounds a lot better than going to the heavenly planets. I think I want to become a sannyasi and get liberated. And by his association with them, he started losing faith in his mantra. He thought, maybe I should just become an impersonalist sannyasi. And then he had a dream where the deity of his mantra, Madan Gopal, appeared to him, as well as Lord Shiva appeared to him. And Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is the presiding deity of Kasi. And they both appeared to him and they said, you fool, don't take sannyas and want to merge into the Brahman. Go to Mathura. And there in the Vrindavan forest, you will fulfill all your desires. So he started chanting his Gopal mantra again. And on the way to Mathura, he stopped at Prayag. And there was a huge festival going on. And this Brahman, again, he was very ignorant. And he just thought there was a lot of noise. So he just says, what are you guys doing? Why are you making all this noise? And they said, we're worshiping God. And he said, where does this God live? What is his qualities? Tell me about him. What are the benefits of all these mantras that you're chanting? And they said, he lives everywhere. He's the super soul, but he has a special home in Vaikuntha. If you bow down and worship him, you can go to Vaikuntha. And the Brahmin did that, and he noticed there were some similarities between Madan Gopal, the deity of his mantra, and the god that they were worshiping. But he thought, no, these forms are different from my Madan Gopal. He thought, my Madan Gopal, he only has two arms, but this Madhava in Prayag, he has four arms. He was seeing that they were worshiping deities at Nisinga and Rama and Vamana and Korma, and he thought, but they're worshiping lots of different gods. He didn't see they were all expansions of his Madan Gopal. He thought, my God is a cowherd boy who plays with the cowherd girls. And as he started meditating on Madan Gopal, he fainted in ecstasy. And again, Madan Gopal came to him in a dream and said, I told you to go to Mathura. You're getting distracted and stopping at all these places on the way. Go to Mathura. So the Brahmana, Maharaj Bricket is telling his mother, went to Mathura. There he felt very enlivened and very happy to be in Vrindavan. And there he heard somebody crying by Keshi Ghat. The person who was crying was chanting the names of the Lord in pure ecstasy of love of Godhead. And he was dressed as a cowherd boy. And the Brahmin thought, oh, there's my deity of Madan Gopal. There's my deity of Madan Gopal. But when he came there, the cowherd boy said, no, I'm just a cowherd boy. And he made the Brahmin sit down and said, I know who you are. The Brahmin said, I would like some spiritual guidance, how to attain the goal of life. And the cowherd boy said, why don't you chant the holy name in Sankirtan with me? And the Brahmin said, well, I'm really not sure if I have faith in that process. Can you please explain to me what is the goal of life? So the cowherd boy said, okay, I will tell you my story. Then Maharaj Pariksit, talking to his mother, starts telling her the story that this cowherd boy told to the Brahmana. This is the story of Gopakumar. So Gopakumar said to the Brahmana, I was the son of a Vaishya, and I grew up at Govardhan, tending the cows. We cowherd boys used to sometimes see a first-class Brahmana who was very renowned and wandering around chanting, dancing, and laughing. He would sometimes bow to us cowherd boys and kiss us and stay in our company, and we would give him our milk products. One day, this Brahmana instructed me, Gopakumar said, that if you want to fulfill all your desires, go bathe in Keshi Ghat, and then you will get some special mercy. So I went to bathe in Keshi Ghat, Gopakumar told the Brahmana, and then this Brahmana gave me the Gopal mantra, the same mantra, my dear Brahmana, that you are chanting. But before this Brahmana could give me any instructions about how to chant it, he became overwhelmed with crying and ecstasies, and he was unable to speak. He simply went away. Well, here I got this mantra from my guru, so I didn't know what to do with it, Gopakumar said, so I just simply started to chant it. As I was chanting this mantra, my desire was to know the Lord of the universe. I thought, I wonder who the Lord of the universe is, and I wonder where I can find him. And in this mood, Gopakumar said, I was chanting my Gopal mantra. And just like you, my dear Brahmana, Gopakumar said, I became a little restless, and I decided I wanted to travel. And just like you, I went to the Ganga. When I went to the Ganga, however, I saw a Brahmana who was worshipping a Shaligram Shila with tulsis. And I said to this Brahmana, what are you worshipping? And he said, you don't know? I'm worshipping the Lord of the universe. Oh, I got so happy, and I bowed down, and I got the Charanamrita and the prasad of the Shaligram Shila. But then, the Brahmana took the Shaligram Shila and put him in a little box. I was very upset. I said, how's he going to eat in this box? What are you doing putting the Lord of the universe in a box? And this Brahmana said to me, listen, if you want to see opulent worship of the Lord of the universe, then you go to the capital city. So Gopakumar said, I kept chanting my Gopal mantra and wanting to see the Lord of the universe. And without even stopping to take prasadam, although I was hungry, I went to the capital city. There at the capital city, I saw very opulent worship. I saw the Lord there with four hands. And everybody was always singing and dancing for him. And as I chanted my Gopal mantra, wanting to see the Lord of the universe, sometimes I would think about Govardhan, where I grew up, and I'd remember the beauty of Raja. As I was in the capital, I saw how the king got to worship the deity. And I was thinking, oh, he's so lucky. He gets to do all this wonderful personal service to the Lord. I wish I could do service like that, I was thinking, as I chanted my Gopal mantra. Soon after that, the king adopted me as his son, because he didn't have any son. And soon after that, the king died. And then, Gopakumar said, I became the king. The Brahmins there, though, really ritualistic. One time, some prasad that was offered to the deity fell on the ground, and the Brahmins wouldn't eat it. They said it became contaminated. And then there were so many duties in running the capital and running the kingdom. And I was so overwhelmed with all my administrative positions, Gopakumar said. I started wondering, why did I ever want to be the king? But I kept chanting my Gopal mantra. One day, some saints arrived from Jagannath Puri. And they started talking to me about what it was like in Jagannath Puri. They said, everyone there is liberated, even the donkeys appear as Vaikuntha associates with four hands. And no one there is too ritualistic, and they all respect prasadam. So I renounced the throne of the capital, and I went to Jagannath Puri, continuing to chant my Gopal mantra and wanting to see the Lord. As I got to Jagannath Puri, I was so excited to see the Lord of the universe that I ran into the Jagannath temple. When I ran to the jungle of the temple, I was in so much ecstasy, I started running onto the altar to embrace Lord Jagannath, and the guard stopped me with a big stick. And when I was there, I saw that the king of Jagannath Puri got to do all kinds of intimate service for Lord Jagannath. And I was so happy, and I was thinking, I'd like to do intimate service for Lord Jagannath, just like the king. And thinking like that, I kept on chanting my Gopa mantra. There in Jagannath Puri, I saw my guru, just for a moment, and then he disappeared. I looked all over for him, and I found him on the beach where he embraced me. And my guru said to me, anything you desire while you're chanting your mantra, you will achieve. Whatever is your desire, whatever is your sankalpa, while you're chanting your mantra, that you will achieve. He said, have faith in the power of the mantra and never give it up, no matter where you go or what you do. He said, by this mantra's potency, you will live long, you will always look the same, and eventually you'll develop your correct mentality and everything will be there. And then my guru disappeared. So I kept chanting the mantra. Then the king of Puri died, and his son took sannyas. There was no king, and the ministers saw me, and they said that I would make a suitable king. Then I improved the worship of Lord Jagannath. But I was again so disturbed by having to take care of all the things in the kingdom, you know, all the finances, and this person fighting with that person, and so many administrative duties. So I renounced the kingdom. But I was still disturbed, Gopal Kumar said, because people kept giving me honor because I had been the king. Everywhere I went, people were giving me honor. So I went to Lord Jagannath and I said, Lord Jagannath, can I please have permission to... And then I saw Lord Jagannath and I just forgot about everything. Then the residents of Mathura visited Jagannath Puri. And then I had a dream, Gopal Kumar said, where Jagannath said, Mathura is more dear to me. Go to Vrindavan. Then I got the garland from Lord Jagannath, confirming this desire of the Lord. So I went back to the land where I was born. I went back to Mathura. I wandered in Vrindavan. I went to Govardhan Hill. Somehow nobody recognized me anymore. None of my old friends. They didn't notice me. But I wasn't very happy. And this is because, Maharaj Parikshit tells Uttara, Gopal Kumar wasn't yet advanced enough to see Krishna unmanifest in Vrindavan. So therefore, he was still feeling dissatisfied. So Gopal Kumar goes on with his story to the Brahmana. He thought, even though Jagannath told me to come here, I don't think I can stay here because I want to see the Lord of the universe. So let's go back to Puri. So I started walking back to Puri again to see Lord Jagannath. And again, I stopped by the Ganga. And this time, my dear Brahmana, just like you did, I saw some Brahmanas there. And just like you heard them talking about Swarga, so I also heard them talking about Swarga. They were talking about the heaven of Indra and the subterranean heaven. But they weren't just talking about how you could go to Swarga and enjoy. They said that if you go to Swarga, you can see the Lord of the universe. They told me that Indra's younger brother, Vamandev, always lives there. And I could see the Lord of the universe, not just in his deity form, but face to face. Oh, that sounded so exciting. So as I was chanting my Gopal mantra, I was meditating on what it would be like to see the Lord of the universe. And then an airplane came and took me up to Swargaloka. There I saw Lord Vishnu, Garuda, Narada in heaven. And Lord Vishnu called out to me, come here, my child. Oh, I was seeing Indra worshiping Lord Vamandev, treating him as a younger brother, with so much affection. And I thought, I wish I could have a relationship like that with the Lord. I wish I could worship the Lord like that. And in that mood, I kept chanting my Gopal mantra. So happy to see Lord Vamandev. Oh, then Indra violated the chastity of a sage's wife, and he hid himself. At that time, the other ministers appointed me as Indra. But I lived very simply. I never forgot Vrindavan. In fact, I often felt separation from Govardhan. And I continued chanting my Gopal mantra. When Lord Vishnu was there, it was so wonderful to see him and to serve him in that mood of a younger brother. But sometimes Lord Vishnu disappeared. And then I felt so much separation from him, and I thought, maybe I should just go home, back to Vrindavan. One day in Swarga, Bhrigu visited, along with some sages. Vishnu worshipped them. And I asked the other demigods, who are these people? And they didn't answer. Sanatana Goswami says, that's because they were really envious and they didn't want to admit that there was anyone higher than them. But Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods there in Swarga, he said to me, they are from Mahaloka. They are the Prajapatis. They worship the Lord of Sacrifices. Just like the Lord was worshipped more opulently in the capital than that of the worship of the Shila, just like the Lord in Puri was worshipped with more ecstasy than that of the capital, just like here in Swarga, there's thousands of times more happiness than that in Jagannath Puri. So there on Mahaloka, they experience thousands of times more happiness than here in Swarga. And there they worship the Lord as the Lord of all sacrifices. Oh, that would be interesting to go there and see the Lord of all sacrifices, I thought. And thinking like that, I was chanting my Gopal mantra. Then I went in an airplane to Mahaloka. There I saw the Lord of Sacrifices enjoying offerings into the fire. And the Lord personally gave me his remnants of the sacrifices. The sages there asked me, would you like us to make you a brahmana? But I said, no, I think I'll just stay as a cowherd boy. I'd rather be a servant. When there was no sacrifices, the Lord disappeared. I couldn't see him anymore. Then I felt great pain. And when Brahma went to sleep, all the sacrifices were completely stopped, and I didn't see the Lord for thousands and thousands of years. Then I thought, oh, I'd rather go back to the earth planet and go to Jagannath Puri in Vrindavan, even though here in Mahaloka there's thousands of times more happiness than even on Swargaloka. But when I'd think like that, then again it would be Brahma's day, and the Lord again would manifest, and I would feel happy again. One day, four little boys came to Mahaloka to visit. And all the Prajapatis, all the householder Prajapatis on Mahaloka, they all worship the four Kumaras. And so I asked the Prajapatis, who are those little boys? They say, oh, you don't know? They live in Tapaloka. Everyone there is a brahmachari. And there they're also always seeing the Lord of the universe. Oh, I might want to go there, I thought. And thinking like that, I chanted my Gopal mantra. Immediately, I found myself in Tapaloka. There I saw the four Kumaras and felt very attracted to them. But I looked everywhere for the Lord of the universe. They said he was seen here all the time, but I couldn't find him anywhere. And when I asked the sages, where's the Lord of the universe? Where's the Lord of the universe? They wouldn't answer my questions. They were always silent. I kept chanting my mantra because my guru had instructed me not to give it up under any conditions, but I was feeling really sad and thinking, maybe I shouldn't have come here. Maybe I should just go back to Jagannath Puri on the earth. Then Pipalayana Muni did speak to me, and he said, why do you want to go just to Puri to see the Lord of the universe with your external senses? Anything understood by the senses is really enjoyed by the mind, Pipalayana Muni told me. He said, therefore, if you meditate on the Lord, you will see him better than those who see with their eyes. He said, if you can't properly meditate and you really want to go see the Lord with your eyes, then you can go to Gandhanamadana Hill and see Nara Narayan. So I got excited and think, okay, that's what I want to do. But then the four Kumaras started manifesting the form of the Lord from their own body. The four Kumaras started looking like Kurma and Nasinga and Varaha, and I became completely pacified. I begged forgiveness that I had disrespected them. Then they touched my head. As soon as they touched my head, I went into deep samadhi of meditation. Well, that really improved my chanting, but still I kept thinking, it would be nice to go back to Vrindavan and nice to go back to Govardhan. Sometimes when I was in a trance, I was unable to see the Lord. Sometimes I was unable to chant my mantra, and then I felt very disturbed. When I would feel very disturbed, the various sages in Tapaloka would assume the form of the Lord by very intense meditation. And they instructed me how to always envision the Lord in the heart. So as I was doing that in Tapaloka, absorbed in meditation of the Lord in the heart, one day a great personality visited. He had four heads and was riding on a swan. And I asked the other residents of Tapaloka, who is that? They said, oh, you don't know? That's the father of the four Kumaras, Lord Brahma. He lives on Satyaloka. They said, in Satyaloka, the Lord is always there as the father of Lord Brahma. He is there as the Mahapurusha with thousands of heads and thousands of arms. Then Gopakumar said, I thought, ooh, that would be nice. I don't so much like seeing the Lord in meditation. I want to see him face to face. And thinking like this, he said, I kept chanting my mantra. Then I went to Satyaloka, where I saw the Mahapurusha with Lakshmi. The Lord was instructing Brahma in devotional service. Oh, I fainted in ecstasy. Lakshmi then picked me up and brought me to the Lord as if I was his son. Then the Lord took some rest, and I saw Brahma do his service of creation. Then I stayed and saw at the end of the day when Lord Brahma went to sleep. And I remembered that when Lord Brahma went to sleep, that all the sacrifices had stopped on Mahaloka. But here I saw Brahma getting up and going to sleep, and all the different cycles of creation. When the Lord was sleeping, I saw all the sages glorifying the Lord. I was so happy there to see the Lord of the universe. And I just loved the way that Lord Brahma was treating Lord Narayan as his father, and Narayan and Lakshmi treated Brahma as his son. They had such a sweet, intimate relationship. And here the happiness was thousands and thousands of times greater than that of Tapaloka, which was thousands of times greater than that of Mahaloka. And I was thinking, how wonderful it would be if the Lord would treat me like this as his son. Sometimes the Lord would go someplace else, and I would feel greatly separated from him. One day, Lord Brahma touched some foam that had manifested from a past devastation, and a demon came out of the foam. Lord Brahma was very afraid and ran away. Lord Vishnu killed the demon, but Brahma was afraid and wouldn't come back. So the Lord said to me, you please become Lord Brahma. When I became Lord Brahma, I flooded the universe with pure devotional service. I made sure that only pure Vaishnavas were appointed to all the positions of the administrative demigods in the universe. But I had so many anxieties to run the whole universe, just imagine. And I found I wasn't enjoying my chanting and my service quite the same way because I had so many anxieties. Still, I was so happy serving the Lord as his beloved son. But one day, one sage came and said, do you know, you can't stay here forever. Even as Lord Brahma, you have to die sometime. I was thinking about that. I'm thinking about Vrindavan and Govardhan. Then some of the residents of Brahmaloka said, you know, there is a way to get free from death. Oh, how is that? I asked them. He said, well, there's a way you can get liberated. You can go into the great Mahakal, the great Brahman, and you can experience liberation. Oh, please tell me more about liberation. Then the personifications of the scriptures, the goddesses of the Upanishads, the Shrutis, the Smritis, they said, if you want to attain liberation, you have to do so by transcendental knowledge. Oh, but some of the goddesses of the Puranas and the Agamas said, No. You don't want to get liberation just by transcendental knowledge and detachment. You want to get liberation by bhakti, by devotional service. Knowledge is much harder to get. And the Shrutis and the Smritis said, yes, you're right. Devotional service as a way to liberation is much better than knowledge. By the way, this is an untouched photo of Nrisimhadev in Mayapur. Someone took a photo when they looked at it. This is what it looked like. So the personified scriptures were saying, you know, the only reason liberation is discussed in the scriptures is just so people will know what it is and avoid it. The happiness of liberation is like the happiness of not being sick when you've been sick for a long time, or the happiness of deep sleep. You can get liberation just by Namabhas chanting. I was just hearing Srila Prabhupada say this yesterday. He said, offensive chanting will give you material things. Namabas chanting, clearing stage chanting, will give you liberation. And he said, instantly, pure chanting will give you love of God. They said, this happiness, the personified scriptures said to me, Gopa Kumar, they said, this happiness attained from liberation is very, very small. And the jivas that are very small parts of Krishna, they forget their identity in liberation. I mean, look, even demons get liberation when they're killed by the Lord. It's not really that wonderful of a thing. Ritual duties will distract you. Renunciation dries up your transcendental taste and simply makes your heart like a stone. Better to just perform bhakti. Listen, if you really want to go, they told me, if you really want to go, my dear Gopa Kumar, and see the Mahakal and see what it's like in the Brahman for liberation, you have to go outside of the shell of the universe. Huge shell of the universe. There's 8 coverings of the universe, each one 10 times bigger than the covering before, and the first one 10 times bigger than the whole diameter of the universe. When you cross all of these, you will come to Mahakal. If you want to very, very quickly go from here to the Mahakal, we suggest you first go all the way back to the Earth planet and go to Vrindavan. The Mahapurush, Lord Vishnu, said to me, my dear Gopa Kumar, Vrindavan has been unaffected by time, even though there's been so many creations and dissolutions since you've come here. When you go there again, you'll meet your spiritual master, and then you'll be able to go to the Mahakal. And my dear Gopa Kumar, he said to me, after you've satisfied all your desires, you will finally come to Vrindavan. So I went back to the Earth planet, and Vrindavan looked exactly the same. There I met my spiritual master, who was unconscious in ecstasy and embraced me. I bathed, and then he gave me some more instructions on the mantra, and immediately disappeared. Following these instructions, I continued chanting my Gopal mantra. As I was chanting, all of a sudden I started traveling upward in the universe. My body changed and became spiritual. I went through the sphere of the sun, and I overcame all illusion. I crossed over all the planets of the universe just in a moment, like the blink of the eye. Then I came to the coverings, which were rich in enjoyment. They were very subtle, and they had thousands of times more pleasures than were found even in Brahmaloka. First, I came to the covering of Earth. Earth was ruled over by Bhumi Devi, who was worshiping Lord Varaha. In Lord Varaha's hairs, I could see all the opulences of all of the universes rotating. Bhumi received me as an honored guest and said, "What would you like?" But I kept chanting my mantra, and I kept going. I came to the covering of water where Matsya was worshipped. Then from water I came to the covering of fire where Surya Narayan was worshipped. In each of these layers, the predominating deity invited me, welcomed me, honored me, and asked me to stay and enjoy there. And in each covering, the subtle enjoyments were thousands of times greater than the covering before. I came to the covering of air with the predominating deity of Prajumna, the covering of ether with the predominating deity of Aniruddha, ego with the predominating deity of Samkarsana, the Mahatattva with the predominating deity of Vasudev. The ruler of each was superior to that that came before, and the opulences and the enjoyments were superior to that which came before. Then I came to a beautiful, beautiful lair. It was a dark blue, practically the same color as my Madan Gopal. The color enchanted the mind. There was Goddess Prakriti, and she was worshiping Mohini Murti. Mohini says, "I can give you all the yogic powers, my dear son. Would you like to stay?" "No," I told her, I don't want to stay here. I'm on my way to the Mahakal, but can I have a tour?" How'd you like Mohini Murti to give you a tour of the of the layering of Prakriti. So Mohini Murti tricked me around and she showed me there that there were very subtle entities. Their bodies were made of pradhan. They had multiple forms and they were enjoying the abstract forms of raw perception, the most subtle and most fine and most sweet possible material enjoyments. And Prakriti Devi said to me, if you want to pass through this layer and go to the Mahakal, you must get my permission because I am the Lord's energy and sister and I am the one who holds the key to it. So I worshipped her and asked for permission to go through. Then I went out of the layer of Prakriti, Gopakumar said, and I got to the Mahakal. It was so bright that I was struggling to see the deity. The light obscured the personality of Godhead, and I started to merge into his effulgence, and quickly I started chanting my mantra, and it saved me. There were radiant beams coming from the Lord's toenails that I could see when I chanted the mantra, so I didn't merge. And I didn't remember. Is this the goal? Is this the ultimate goal? Is this what I've been trying to get to all this time? Here where there's happiness thousands and millions of times greater than that in the layer of Prakriti. But then I remembered my guru's instructions always to meditate on the form of Madan Gopal. And so pretty soon my desire to see Madan Gopal just increased and increased and increased. And I thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to merge with this light. How am I going to see Madan Gopal? Maybe I should just go back to Vrindavan. Maybe I should never have come here. Then I heard some music and some singing. I saw a very interesting person riding on a bull. He was white-colored, he had three eyes, and he was naked. He had a trident. He had a garland of auspicious bones, which were the bones from the bodies of departed Vaishnavas. He had Gauri on his lap, and he looked like a big sense enjoyer. I bowed down, and I asked Nandishwar, who is this? Who is this personality that looks like a big sense enjoyer but is existing beyond even liberation? And Nandishwara laughed and he said, you don't know? This is Lord Shiva, the Lord of the universe. He's non-different from the Supreme Lord. I worshipped him, but I didn't feel very happy because I couldn't see any of the pastimes of Madan Gopal that I liked so much. Then Lord Shiva manifested the form of Madan Gopal and therefore also manifested Madan Gopal's pastimes, but there's something missing. There was some kind of charm and sweetness that just wasn't there. But I stayed by Lord Shiva's side when he rested. And I saw chanting and dancing, and all of Lord Shiva's associates were playing instruments. Then I saw, coming from a distance, four-armed and effulgent persons who were also singing and dancing. They were in the presence of the four Kumaras. Gauri told her son Ganesh, why don't you explain to Gopakumar who they are? So Ganesh took me to the side where no one else would hear. And he said, these are the residents of Vaikuntha. He said, I'm telling you over here because all of Lord Shiva's associates, they think that he's the supreme. And they're not going to be really interested in hearing about anything higher in Vaikuntha. When I heard this, I fainted. Then Lord Shiva picked me up and he said, if you get 100 times as much mercy as I have, then you can go to Vaikuntha. My realm of Mahakal is not meant for you. He said, if you want to go to Vaikuntha, you have to hear the pastimes of the Lord. And the residents of Vaikuntha said the same thing. They said, especially you should hear the Bhagavatam and engage in the other eight angas of bhakti. The residents of Vaikuntha were glorifying devotional service. They said, if you want to get from here in the Mahakal to Vaikuntha, you're going to have to engage in the nine processes of bhakti yoga. Not only that, you're not going to be able to get to Vaikuntha directly from here in the Mahakal. Just like to get to the Mahakal from Brahmaloka, you had to go back to Vrindavan. Again, you're going to have to go back to the earth planet, back to Vrindavan. And there you're going to need to perform Nam Sankirtan. This chanting is the most effective means for attaining to Vaikuntha. And then I had a whole conversation with them about chanting versus meditation, because people I and Muni had been talking to me about the fact that meditation was better. But the residents of Vaikuntha said they really support each other. When you chant, you naturally meditate, and when you're meditating, you should be chanting. So I went back down through all the layers again, and back past all the planets, and back to the earth, and back to Vrindavan, where I engaged in Nam Sankirtan. I heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure Brahmana in Mathura. I even saw my guru again, who embraced me and gave me some more instructions in chanting the mantra. My chanting became more and more and more ecstatic, and one time I saw Krishna for a moment, and then he disappeared. At that moment, an airplane arrived with the same Vaikuntha people I had seen in the Mahakal. They told me, "Why don't you take a form like ours?" And I said, "Oh, I'd rather just be a cowherd boy." But my body was transformed into pure spirit, and I flew to Vaikuntha. On the way, I flew again past all of the planets, and everybody was honoring me. It was actually a little awkward. In each planet where I had been Indra, where I had been Brahma, where I had been with the Prajapatis, where I had been with the great sages, they were now offering me honor. And I went through all the coverings again, and I went past Mahakal, and I went past Lord Shiva. And then the residents of Vaikuntha left me at the gate of Vaikuntha. They said, "Please wait here. We need to ask permission from our master for you to enter." Oh, then I saw somebody approach who looked just like Lord Vishnu. "Oh, my Lord, all glories to you, all glory." "Oh, no," he said, "I'm not the Lord. I'm just a servant." He got really embarrassed, and he went inside. Then another person came who was even more beautiful and more opulent. And I said, "Oh, all glories to you, my Lord." "No, no, no, I'm not the Lord. I'm just a servant," he said. And very embarrassed, he went inside. I saw so many people like that. I had some came alone, some with families, some with opulences and associates, some who merged the opulences and associates into themselves. I saw some that looked like birds, some that looked like trees, some that looked like monkeys, some that looked like demigods, some that looked like demons. All different forms and changing shapes and amazing beings. And so many who I thought were Vishnu, but they would all, "No, I'm not Vishnu, I'm just a servant." And they would go inside. Sometimes Vaikuntha looked like it was covered with multicolored jewels, and sometimes like it was just pure white. And the beauty of the gate of Vaikuntha was millions and millions of times that the opulence of the Mahakal. Finally, the people who brought me there returned and said, "Okay, you can come in now." And they started bringing me through the gates. At each gate, I would find a gatekeeper who looked just like the Lord. And I would say, oh, now I have found the Lord. And I would offer my obeisances and say, "Jai." And he'd say, "I'm not the Lord. I'm just a servant." After going through one gate after another like that, my escorts explained to me, "Listen, let me tell you how to recognize the Lord." So he has the Srivats mark and he has the Kastuba jewel. And listen, when you meet the Lord, this is the etiquette. We have a certain etiquette here in Vaikuntha, and you don't just like jump up and down like that. Okay, so this certain way you have to treat this is very reverential here. Okay, so I got all those instructions down, and then we finally went through the last gate. Oh, and then I saw him with four arms, with the Kastuba jewel, with the goddess Rama on his left and the goddess Bhumi Urdharani on his right, with the Sudarshan chakra, with associates like Narada, Garuda, Sesha. Narada was entertaining the Lord, and the Lord was offering his feet to the devotees. Oh, but I forgot everything, and I started saying, "Oh, Gopal, my life and soul," and I ran toward the Lord. The devotees held me back, and I fell unconscious. Then the Lord said, come here quickly. I started dancing and dancing. And the Lord said to me, he said, "I am fortunate to meet you." That's what the Lord said to me. He said to me, For so many lifetimes, I've been dancing like a fool, thinking, in this life will he come? In this life? In this life? And for life after life, he told me, I didn't chant his name. I didn't do any kind of service. And then the Lord said to me, I was thinking, how can I bring this soul to me without breaking the laws of karma? And he told me, he arranged for me to take birth in Govardhan and personally manifested as my guru. And then he said to me, please, stay here forever. I was just stunned. Then as I was there, some flute players dressed as cowherd boys came in to entertain the Lord. I also started playing a flute. Then Lakshmi Devi told all the devotees to leave, that it was time for the Lord's lunch. But I didn't want to go anywhere. All the residents of Vaikuntha offered me their opulences and bodies like theirs, but I didn't want anything to do with their opulences. I just wanted to stay in my same form. I was given a very intimate service to the Lord. I was allowed to fan him, and I was allowed to entertain him by playing a flute. I would often glorify his activities in Gokula and call him Gopal. But some of the residents of Vaikuntha didn't like that very much. And they would say, you know, you really shouldn't call Lord Narayan Gopal. I mean, okay, he has an incarnation as a cowherd boy that he accepts to kill the demons, and so it's one of his names. But, you know, you don't go to the King of Kings and say, oh, cowherding boy. You know, it's just not very respectful to call him a little village cowherd boy. But some other residents of Vaikuntha, they said, listen, you can call the Lord by any of the names of any of his incarnations. I mean, yes, it's true that Lord Narayan is the chief and Gopal is just one of his many incarnations, but still it's one of his incarnations, and so it's okay. And that side won, so I got to still call him Gopal. Even then, I felt kind of discouraged that I couldn't see Gopal's pastimes. I really wanted to see the pastimes of Madan Gopal. But sometimes I would get a vision where Lakshmi became Radha and Dharani became Chandravali. And then Vishnu appeared like Gopal on a throne. Still, they would go back then to looking again like Vishnu and Lakshmi and Dharani. And awe and reverence would get in the way. I wanted to run to the Lord and hug him and play with him. So sometimes I felt very sad. And sometimes Vishnu went away. And then I felt such separation. One day Narada found me. And he said, what's the problem? How is it possible for anyone to be sad in Vaikuntha? He touched me with his veena and asked me to reveal my mind. Narada said, yes, actually, Vraja is the highest, but it's not compatible with the Vaikuntha mood, even though the Lord is the same. He says the reason that the residents of Vaikuntha have all these different forms is that in whichever form they worship the Lord before they came to Vaikuntha, in that form they will worship him in Vaikuntha, and they have appropriate forms to worship him in that form. Oh, I was anxious to see Gopal. So Narada Muni consoled me and said, listen, if you're not really happy here in Vaikuntha, you can go to a more intimate realm, that of Ayodhya. It's not very far from here. And after Ayodhya, you can go to Dwarka, and then you can see the Lord that you desire. He said, if you want to go to Ayodhya, you should worship Ram, and Ram will then send you to Dwarka. And Narada told me, he said, you don't need any permission to leave here. The Lord of Vaikuntha has already sent me to give you this instruction. Please leave immediately. So chanting my mantra and meditating on Ram, I found myself in Ayodhya. There I saw monkeys chanting, Ram, Ram. They grabbed my flute and Hanuman took me to Ayodhya. There I saw Bharat and others. And as soon as I saw Bharat, I thought, oh, here is Ramachandra, the Supreme Lord. And I offered my obeisances. And Bharat said, no, I am only a servant. Hanuman then brought me to Ram, Sita, and Lakshman, where I offered obeisances. Ram then picked me up, and I saw Hanuman serving and fanning the Lord. I bowed to Lord Ramachandra, who said to me, oh, you are my dear friend. Get up, get up. Give up all this awe and reverence. Hanuman brought me and put me right at Ram's lotus feet. I was observing all of Ram's pastimes, but I was missing Madan Gopal. Sometimes I imagine Ram having the qualities of Madan Gopal, and Raja would impose itself on my heart. Then Hanuman would pacify me. Ram noticed that I wasn't so happy, so he told Jambavan to take me to Dwarka. So, of course, you know that Jambavan exists both in Ram Lila and in Dwarka Lila. So Jambavan then said, "Let us go to Dwarka where we will be happy." There, as I entered into Dwarka, I saw the Yadavas were the most beautiful people I had seen everywhere. Their beauty even surpassed the residents of Vaikuntha. They embraced me and brought me into the city. There I saw Krishna in the Sudharma Hall, and here he had only two arms, as an adolescent. With him were Vasudev, Balaram, Akura, Gada, Satyaki, Ugrasena. And again, Narada was entertaining Krishna with jokes. Uddhava was massaging Krishna's feet, and Garuda was playing. I came into that assembly hall carrying my flute. And the Lord told Uddhava, "Oh, please bring Gopakumar close." He put his feet forward, and Uddhava forcibly put my head on the Lord's feet. Then the Lord touched me and took the flute out of my hands, and he started crying as he was remembering Vrindavan. The Lord of Dwarka, crying and remembering in Vrindavan, asked me, "How are you? Are you all right?" But he was so disturbed thinking about Vrindavan after seeing my flute that all the ministers had to calm him down. And the Lord entered his inner chambers holding my hands with Balaram and Uddhava. Devaki, Rohini, and Krishna's wives followed. Then I had a vision in which Krishna looked like Madan Gopal, Devaki looked like Yasoda. Krishna lifted me up and cleaned my body. Krishna didn't want to go to eat at all because he was feeling so much separation from Vrindavan by seeing me, but his mothers forced him to eat. Then Krishna not only personally ate, but he fed me himself. When Krishna and Balaram sat down surrounded by all the Yadus, it looked to me like it was Krishna sitting with all the cowherd boys. Then Uddhava took me to his house to stay. I got so much Mahaprasadam from Uddhava when I was there at Dwarka, and so much mercy. The residents of Dwarka spoke to me. They said, "It's not appropriate for you to dress like a miserly cowherd boy." But I didn't want to change my clothes. Sometimes I'd see Krishna with four hands and sometimes with two, and sometimes Krishna would leave and go visit the Pandavas, at which time I was tormented by separation. One time at Uddhava's house, Narada Muni came to visit. And I asked Narada, "I see you everywhere, and you always look the same. How is that?" And Narada said, "Yes, just like the Lord can expand himself. So we liberated souls, not like the Lord in every atom, but we can also expand ourselves and be in many places at the same time, Garuda, Hanuman, and so forth." And Narada said to me, "I'm amazed that you're always a cowherd boy wherever you go." And I said to Narada, "Yes, I'm sure you know all about this." And then Narada said to Uddhava, "My dear Uddhava, just see, this cowherd boy is searching for something that even you and I have not attained. Wandering here and there, he has never transcended distress. My dear Uddhava, why don't you enlighten him? Vrindavan is far away and the happiness is inaccessible. You and I can only pray for a means to attain it." Then Uddhava described to Narada my birth and occupation and worship and said, "You're right, Narada. This Gopakumara is a much greater soul than us. But listen, Narada, I'm not qualified to talk to Gopakumara about Vrindavan. I'm a Kshatriya. You're a Brahmana. You should be the one." And Narada said, "Here we are in the spiritual world. You're talking about Brahmins and Kshatriyas." And Uddhava said, "Well, even the Lord likes to play here like he's a Kshatriya." So then Narada started praising Uddhava for his very intimate mood. And Narada began to explain Goloka, way beyond even Dwarka, the land of the cows. not attainable by one who's absorbed in awe and reverence. One can only get the prema of Vrindavan when one thinks of the Lord very intimately. Said Ayodhya and Dwarka are more similar to Vaikuntha. And there Narada started explaining all the pastimes that the Lord has. How the Lord killed Putana, how he's bound to the mortar, how he pulled down the trees, how he swallowed the fire, showed Yasoda the universal form, how he lifted Govardhan Hill, how he tended the cows, the killing of Danika, the subduing of Kaliya, Palambasura, the rainy season, stealing the gopis' clothes, begging food from the brahmanas, the song of the flute, how Krishna disappears from the Rasalila, how Krishna is indebted to the gopis, how Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura. Oh, you are so eager, Narada Muni told me. This eagerness you have for Vrindavan is very, very rare. No. There's different methods for attaining different goals, Narada said, and I'm not really fit to go any further. Then Uddhava touches Narada's feet and says, the greatest residents of Vrindavan are the gopis. I simply want to be a creeper, Uddhava said, that somehow can see the activities of the gopis, or maybe some grass that they will touch with their feet. Oh. Then Narada said, well, I can't describe the glories of the gopis. They're praised even by Grandfather Bhishma. Somehow, Narada said, my tongue is wicked and will do it anyway. And he starts to describe the gopis. And then he says, said to me, my dear Gopakumar, if you want to enter this wonderful realm of Vrindavan, why don't you go back to Jagannath Puri? You'll need there a strong desire. You'll need to be willing to overcome all obstacles, to meditate, to sing about the Vrindavan pastimes, and keep association with those who have the kind of love that you find in Vrindavan. Cultivate speech and behavior in that mood of the residents of Vrindavan. You're going to need to develop total, utter humility. Humility and the love of Vrindavan go together. You cannot have one without the other. They are each the cause and effect of each other. So, my dear Gopakumar, if you want to achieve this, go back to the material world and go to Jagannath Puri. There in Jagannath Puri, you should especially worship Srimati Radharani, who is the queen of Goloka Vrindavan. Well, Narada said that, and I was all ready to go to Jagannath Puri, but Uddhava wasn't at all happy by this instruction. Uddhava said, what is this about Jagannath Puri? Dwarka is just as nice as Jagannath Puri. He's already here in Dwarka. Why does he have to go to Jagannath Puri? It'll be the wrong mood. It's too much fun. It's too much bliss. How will he develop the humility? Well, when I went to Vrindavan, Uddhava said, it was only there that I could understand the love of the residents of Vrindavan. It couldn't be understood in Dwarka. It can't be understood in Puri. I had to go to Vrindavan. You remember, Narada, when I went and I was talking with the gopis? That's the real thing that Gopakumar needs to do. He needs to go back to Vrindavan. So, again, I was sent back to the material world to Vrindavan. Uddhava told me that Krishna himself will take me to Gokula. I closed my eyes, and when I opened them, I was in Gokula. There I engaged in Sankirtan of the holy names of the Lord. One time when I was crying and became unconscious, Krishna came. I saw him, and he wiped the dust from my face. I tried to grab his dhoti, but Krishna ran away playing his flute, and I was chasing him, and I fell into the Jamuna River. Then a vehicle came, a beautiful airplane came, and took me again all through the material universe, past all of the planets of Indra and Bhrigu and the four Kumaras and Lord Brahma, past all of the coverings of the universe, past Lord Shiva, and this time also past Vaikuntha, and past Ayodhya, and past Dwarka. And I ended up at this palace of Nandagram. And I was thinking, oh, it looks just like on the Earth planet. I even heard people talking about Kamsa. I tried to talk to the people there to ask where I was and what to do, but none of them would talk to me. They were all crying. I couldn't understand, are these people experiencing the highest ecstasy or the greatest distress? I kept saying, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? And one old lady finally said, he'll come back after he herds the cows in the forest. And then I heard a flute. Everybody in the village became ecstatic and ran to the entrance of the village where Krishna was coming with his friends and his cows playing the flute. And then Krishna saw me. He ran up to me and he embraced me. Then he fell to the ground crying and crying and crying, and he went unconscious. Everyone in Vrindavan got all upset. The gopis were saying, what are you? What's happened? What's happened to Krishna? What's happened to Krishna? What's happened to Krishna? And someone said, that new cowherd boy, he did it. Someone said, oh, he must be a wizard sent by Kamsa. Then Balaram came and made me hold Krishna's head and lift up Krishna. And Krishna came back to awareness and embraced me and took my hand and entered the village of Vrindavan. I went home with Krishna. Mother Yasoda gave me so much love. And Krishna said to me, your eternal and real name is Sarupa. So now, my dear Brahmana, I'm going to tell you the rest of this story using my real name as Sarupa. I saw the gopis come and bathe Balaram and Krishna. And Krishna immediately threw me his flute when the gopis started bathing him so that the gopis wouldn't steal it. And Krishna was joking with them. Sometimes when they were bathing him, he'd say, ouch! And Mother Yasoda would run in and say, are you hurting my boy? And the gopis would get all embarrassed. Then we were eating, and Krishna sat down with Balaram. And he took up a Manohar Ladu that Radharani had made. He took a bite of it and made a really funny face. And he threw the Ladu to me. Oh, when he did that, Radharani's eyebrows knitted. Her rival smiled. Mother Yasoda was very upset. And then I saw Krishna kind of giving Radharani a sidelong glance. That really, he just wanted to give the Ladu to me. Because I found out that I'm a member of Radharani's family. Then I saw Krishna going to bed. As Krishna was going to bed, Radharani was offering him betel. Chandravali and Lalita were each massaging his lotus feet. I got to watch Krishna go to sleep. But then Sri Dhamma came and took me away. And we went back to our own home. I don't know what Krishna did all night, but I was there all night dreaming of playing with Krishna. At dawn, I returned, and I saw that Krishna's body had signs of being in the forest all night. Mother Yasoda thought he didn't get a bath the night before, and the gopis were all giggling. Then Krishna got up and left with the cows to go to the forest, and I got to go with him. And Mother Yasoda went again and again. Are you going to be okay, Krishna? No, it's all right, Mother, you can go back. And then she'd come again. You want to take this food with you, Krishna? And then she'd go. The gopis tried to follow Krishna, and Krishna sent them all back. And there in the forest, we had wonderful, wonderful games. I so much enjoyed playing with Krishna. And I could see that all the residents of Vaikuntha were actually expansions of the residents of Vrindavan. I saw that in the spiritual world, Krishna gets up on Kaliya like a tamed horse and rides him all over the Jamuna. When he defeats Aristasura, he gives him to Lord Shiva as his bull. Keshi is another one of his vehicles for riding around the spiritual world. Oh, but then one day, Akura came to get Krishna and take him to Mathura. And Krishna was gone from Vrindavan. But I stayed in Vrindavan. and my dear Brahmana, the happiness of separation from Krishna and Vrindavan dances on the heads of all other happiness. Then again, Krishna would return, and in a few moments we'd forget that he ever left. It would seem like some kind of a dream or an imagination, and then he would go again. And sometimes I'd come with Krishna when he appeared in the material world, and sometimes I'd be with Krishna in the spiritual world, and sometimes I'd be in both places. And I could never tell the difference except when we were coming and going. And one day in the spiritual world, Radharani asked to see me. She said, "My dear Sarupa, there's a Brahmana in Mathura who's my devotee. I want you to go and give him Krishna Prema and bring him back to the spiritual world. And therefore, my dear Brahmana, I have come to meet you here at Keshigat and instruct you." Seeing that the Brahmana still did not have prema, Maharaj Pariksit said to Uttara, "Sarupa touched the Brahmana on his head. Immediately the Brahmana could understand all love of God, the glories of pure devotional service. At that point, the two of them heard a flute and the running of cows. And they ran and they saw, there was Gopal. Krishna embraced both of them, and he said to the Mathura Brahmana, 'Your name is Janasarma.' The Brahmana then assumed a body of a cowherd boy. Krishna then gave water to the cows and played with his friends. Swarupa and Janasarma had lunch with all the cowherd boys and their friends. They were eating the forest fruits and the roots given by their mothers. Krishna ate from the plate of each of the cowherd boys, and he gave from his plate to the cowherd boys each of their favorite food. The boys fed Krishna, and they put on garlands and sandalwood, and Krishna slept. Sri Dama's arms were the pillow, and Krishna made faces and jokes and made everyone laugh. Then Krishna entered the village of Vrindavan and said, 'Janasarma, you please stay here eternally under the care of Sarupa.' And this, my dear mother, is the explanation of all of the places above Vaikuntha." And this is the story told by Sanatan Goswami. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I hope you enjoyed this story. If you really enjoyed it, I suggest you read the whole book. There's a BBT's printed this book in three parts. They're each about this thick. The first part is a different story. The first book is a different story, a story we didn't tell today. And the second two books are this story of Gopal Kumar. And I hope you enjoyed. Thank you very much. Sanatan Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.